بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely, not partially, fully. Meaning Islam must be in every aspect of your life, in your domestic aspect, in your public aspect, in your business, in your family affairs, in your ibadat, inside the masjid, outside the masjid, in your shop, outside the shop, everywhere. How you walk, how you talk, how you drive. Islam must be visible in every aspect of your life. وَلَا تَتَّبِيُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ, Allah said, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ, verily shaitan is your open enemy. A friend of mine, in this context, a friend of mine asked me this question. They read my book, Seerah is the Answer. In the chapter on interest-based borrowing and lending, this friend of mine said that it will be good if you can also provide some alternatives, because it will make it easy for people to follow. So my question is very simple. My question is, for any Muslim who says this, my first question is, do you have iman? Are you a Muslim? Because if you have iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is declaring war on His own behalf and on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on anybody who deals with interest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, what is the meaning of dealing with interest? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anyone who is borrowing on interest, anyone who is lending on interest, anyone who is witnessing the transaction, and anyone who is writing down the transaction. He said all four are the same. Which means all these four kinds of people are people whose names will be listed in the list of enemies of Allah and enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? I'm not saying this. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself said in the Quran. And that's why I asked the question, do you have iman? Because if you have iman, then something which has been stated clearly in an ayat of the Quran, where is the question of not believing that? Right? So, first and foremost question is this. As far as the issue of interest is concerned, that's the reason why it is haram to borrow on interest. It is haram to lend on interest. It is haram to work for a commercial bank. It is haram to rent your property to a commercial bank. It is haram to audit the accounts of a commercial bank. All of these things, because they all come into the same definition of borrowing and lending on interest. Then the question comes, which people bring up, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from scholars for dollars. People say, no, you see, we have allowed borrowing on interest in these days because without that, how will Muslim businesses prosper? Right? Because according to them, alternative ways of finance are not available. So therefore, how will Muslim businesses prosper if they are not allowed to borrow on interest? Now, several things wrong with this. First and foremost, who are you to allow or disallow something that Allah has prohibited? Nobody in the world, no mufti, no collection of muftis can allow or disallow something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed or disallowed. What Allah has made halal is halal. What Allah has made haram is haram. Nobody can make the halal into haram and nobody can make the haram into halal. It's as simple as that. Nobody can make alcohol halal. Nobody can make zina halal. Nobody can make pork halal. Nobody can make murder halal. And none of these things are ones on which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war. Whereas on interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only made it haram, Allah declared war on it. So if you cannot make gambling halal, and you cannot make horse racing halal, and you cannot make, you know, all of these things halal, how can you make interest halal? So first thing. Second thing is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the same set of ayat, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah said, Allah will destroy riba. Allah will destroy interest. Meaning anything which is based on interest-based borrowing or lending. And Allah will give increase to sadaqat, to charity, to all good works. So now if somebody argues and says that how can Muslims prosper without borrowing on interest? My question is, how can you prosper in something where Allah has promised to destroy you? That's why I began by saying, do you have iman or you don't have iman? How can you prosper in something where Allah promised to destroy you? So number one, your name has been written in the list of enemies of Allah and Muhammad Rasulullah, which means that on the day of judgment, you are going to face Allah as his enemy, and you cannot possibly expect the shafaat and intercession of Rasulullah because you are an enemy. Who intercedes for the enemy? Nobody. And second thing is that you are claiming that you are borrowing on interest, or you have been allowed by this mufti or that mufti to borrow on interest because otherwise you cannot prosper. My question is, ask yourself and ask your mufti, how can you prosper in something where Allah has promised to destroy you? Whether you borrow on interest, the issue is Allah has promised to destroy anything which is based on interest. How can you prosper in that anyway? Okay? Second point. Third point is the excuse that again some scholars for dollars who are aided by shaitan give to say that you are living in Darul Harb, land of war, and therefore interest is jais. My question is, again, this is a combination of bad intentions and stupidity. Point is, in a land of war, what is called, what is Darul Harb? Darul Harb is a land in which you are either a prisoner, because you are subjugated, so you are a prisoner, or you are under attack, right? Because you are fighting. So you are fighting, that's why it's called Darul Harb, because you are fighting, so you are under attack. So if you are under attack, what must you do? Defend yourself. And if you are in prison, you are in prison. Where is the option to borrow money on interest and build a house and this and that and the, where is the option for this? You are fighting. You are either fighting or you are in prison. Only then can it be called Darul Harb, place of war. What is in a war? Have you ever seen an army setting up shops? You know, here, there is a battlefront, there is an army across there. You are here and your army is setting up shops and they are building houses and they are buying cars. Have you seen this? You are fighting. You are fighting for your life. You are fighting for your freedom. Where is the question of borrowing money to build businesses? Or where is the question of borrowing money to build houses or buy cars or whatever it is? Where is the option? The other two possibilities, Darul Aman and Darul Islam, where is the possibility of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where is the possibility of borrowing on interest? Because in Darul Aman, you are free to practice your religion. So practice your religion. In your religion, interest is haram. So practice it. Don't take interest. And Darul Islam, well, this is in Darul Islam, the law is the Sharia. So therefore, there is no question of interest. People who give these fatwas, they need their brains examined. They need their iman examined. They should go and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make istighfar and come back on Islam. Final question. To answer the question also, what are the alternatives? As I said, I am not even going to talk about alternatives until we have dealt with the issue of iman itself. Because if you are accepting war with Allah, then as far as I am concerned, you have no iman. You are not even a Muslim. Wallahu alam. I am not giving a fatwa. I am just saying you have to ask yourself, am I a Muslim? Because I am accepting a declaration of war from Allah. Meaning, do I believe in Allah at all? Do I believe in Allah at all? To come to alternatives, why do people buy? Why do people borrow? Three main reasons. I'm not talking about borrowing to do weddings and stuff. I'm talking about three main. One, to buy a car. What is the alternative? Buy a second-hand car. Simple. Or use public transport. Both of these, second-hand car and public transport, are far better options than buying a new car in any case. Buying a new car is a wasteful use of resources. That new car that on day two is a second-hand car anyway, isn't it? Try and sell it. You know, it's a second-hand car, so all, in any case, you have a second-hand car. Public transport is the best option. Getting a taxi is the best option because apart from anything else, that expense is tax deductible. Right? Number one. Number two, you borrow money to build a house. Did you build your own house? Is this one of the questions on the Day of Judgment? It is not. Is Allah going to question you about this in the cover? He is not. So what must you do? Live in a rented house. Once again, far better use of finances. House rent is tax deductible. So instead of spending, you are going to get something back from the income tax department because you can show it off against your income as a tax deductible expense. Second thing is, if you take that money, which is the cost of a house, cost of land, cost of house, building, whatever, and if you invest this money, the return on that investment, you can live in a rented house for the whole of your life. And this beauty of the rented house is, you can have a rented house in Hyderabad, you go tomorrow to Bangalore, you can have a rented house in Bangalore, you go somewhere else, you have a rented house somewhere else. You are mobile, your money is liquid, you have access to those funds anytime you like. To invest in an expensive house, people take a lot of pride, you know, I built this house, it's $10 million, it's got this, it's got that. Try and sell it tomorrow. You will not even get the money you paid for the house. Big expensive houses are a dead investment. While you are living in it, it is giving you zero return. You can have some notional cost of, you know, notional sense of increase, land value has increased. But the point is, you cannot have access to that unless you sell the house. And when you sell the house, you will realize that you can't even sell the house for what you paid for it. So it's a stupid investment. To buy your own house, to build your own house, is a stupid investment. Much wiser investment would be to invest that money and to live in a rented house from the return on that investment. Far superior, because you're getting two ways. One is you're getting a return on the money, and secondly, the rent, you are setting it off against your income. So you're getting from both sides, instead of spending. And it's a dead investment. I put 10 million into a house, it's 10 million gone down the drain. It's stuck. I don't have access to that money. It's doing nothing for me. And then if and when, whatever time I want to sell it, I will be very fortunate, very lucky if I even get the price that I paid for the house. Third reason we borrow is to increase your business. What are the alternatives? Venture capital financing is an alternative. Diluting your equity is an alternative. Who said there are no alternatives? Borrowing from an Islamic bank is an alternative on Islamic basis of funding. Who says there are no alternatives? Not expanding your business is also an alternative. Because if you compare that with I expand my business or I become an enemy of Allah, which one do I want? Then what is the question? What is the answer? Therefore, we close the loop, we come back to the first point, which is, do you have iman? So I say, go look in the mirror, ask yourself, am I a Muslim? Do I have iman? If I die today, I am going to be dying with my name in the list of enemies of Allah. Is this how I want to die? Ask yourself this question. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is pleasing to Him and to save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.